में भी आप डिसाइड सकते हैं। हरे राम चार मिला वाला की फिर बोलते हैं चलो श्रुति खाइए, परंतु यहाँ आराम से दर्शन भी सकते हैं। और आगे भगवान स्वाहा करते हैं तो आगे भगवान स्वाहा पति है और अग्नि से भगवान के डायरेक्ट में उतारते हैं 1000 तो विषय जरूर। तो कृपया आप का संख्या में इस भाग जी कौन भगते
अपने
Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Shadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hari bo, hari bo, nitai bora hari bo. Jaya jaya Prabhupada, 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 jaya Prabhupada. Vishnupada Astotara Sati Shishi Mad, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki, Sad Goswami Ki, Prem Se Kaho, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Radha Shiva Sari Goda Bhakta Vrinda Ki, Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath, Shamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki, Vrindavan Dham Ki, Mayapuram ki, Gangamayi ki, Yamunamayi ki, Tulsi Devi ki, Bhakti Devi ki, Samabhata Bhaktavinda ki, Shri Hari Nam Sankirtan ki, Brihat Midang ki, Nitai Gaur Premanandi. Glory to the assembled devotees, all glory to the assembled devotees, all glory to the assembled devotees, all glory to Shri Guru, Shri Gauranga.
Hare Krishna. Today, indeed, we are very fortunate to have His Holiness Guru Prasad Swami Maharaj between us. And His Holiness Guru Prasad Swami Maharaj was born in the US and has been a student of nuclear physics. He had joined the US military service and then later was posted in Panama. During his military service in Panama, he came in contact with ISKCON. Upon concluding his military service, he joined a pioneering group of Krishna devotees in Central America stationed in San Jose, Costa Rica. He was initiated by Srila Prabhupada in the year 1976. He received sannyas initiation in Rio de Janeiro in Brazil in the year 1982. His early contribution in ISKCON, Costa Rica, centered on administrative services and distributing BBT publications beginning in 1975 in the US and from 76 to 78 in Central America. He became the president of the Costa Rica Temple in the year 1978 and then began traveling around Latin America, opening new temples, establishing worship centers, and collaborating in diverse administrative services. In 1987, he became a member of the GBC with zonal assignments in the area of South and Central America. He is the co-zonal secretary for El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, Panama, Belize, Costa Rica, Nicaragua, Colombia, Trinidad and Tobago, and Venezuela. Maharaj has been taking care of the Latin and Central American zone, which is considered a high-risk zone with security issues having the highest crime rate percentages of the world. A few of them to mention are Venezuela, Honduras, Mexico. In these countries, it has been a challenge for him to maintain the preaching activities as well as of the temples where there are only a handful of devotees. And financial maintenance of the temples has not been an easy task. But Maharaj continues his service towards his master by doing whatever it takes to keep Krishna consciousness alive in the Latin and Central American hemisphere. So let us all wish, welcome His Holiness Guru Prasad Swami Maharaj by saying Hari Bol. Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari Bol!
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Today, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 30th chapter, texts 39 and 40. Yana swaditam guruva pasidita. Viprascha vidhascha sadanuvritya Aryanata suhrido bratarascha Savani bhutan yanasuya yaiva Yana swadhitam guruva pasidita Vipascha vidhascha sadanu vritya Ayanata suhrido bratarascha Savani bhutan yanasuya yaiva. Nasvaditam guruva prasidita. Ani bhutanya nasuya yaiva Yanasvaditam guravas pasidita Vipasya janata suhido bratrascha savani bhutanyana suyaya eva Vaishnavik. Nadhitam Gurava Pasidata. I'll just read the next verse, which is not written on the board. Yana sutaptam tapa edadisha nirandasam. I guess some of you can repeat it. Whoever has their electronic Bhagavatam. No. Yana sutaptam tapa edadisha. Niranda sam kalam abhadram apsu sarvam taretad purushasya bhumno vinimahete parito shanaya so word for word yat what Na bayas swaditam studied guruva superior persons spiritual masters prasadita satisfied vipra the brahmanas cha and vidha those who are elderly Cha and Sat Anubhritya by our gentle behavior. Arya, those who are advanced in spiritual knowledge. Nata, were offered obeisances. Suhrida, friends. Bratara, brothers. Cha and Sarvani, all Bhutani, living entities, Anasuyaya, without envy, Eva, certainly. And I'll just do the word for word for the other verse, although you don't see it here. Yat, what? Na, of us, Sutaptam, severe. Tapa, penance, etat, this, isha, O Lord, nirandasam, without taking any food, kalam, time, adabram, for a long duration, apsu, within the water, sarvam, all, tat, that, etat, this, purushasya, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, bhumna, the most exalted, vinimahe, we want this benediction, te, of you, paritoshanaya, for the satisfaction. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Dear Lord, we have studied the Vedas, accepted a spiritual master, and offered respect to the Brahmins, advanced devotees, and aged personalities who are spiritually very advanced. We have offered our respects to them, and we have not been envious of any brother, friends, or anyone else. We have also undergone severe austerities within the water and have not taken food for a long time. All these spiritual assets of ours are simply offered for your satisfaction. We pray for this benediction only and nothing more. Everyone can please repeat. Dear Lord, we have studied the Vedas, accepted a spiritual master, and offered respect to Brahmins, advanced devotees, and aged personalities who are spiritually very advanced. We have offered our respects to them, and we have not been envious of any brother, friends, or anyone else. We have also undergone severe austerities within the water and have not taken food for a long time. All these spiritual assets of ours are simply offered for your satisfaction. We pray for this benediction only and nothing more. Purport. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam Samsidhir Hari Toshanam, the real perfection of life is pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vedaishta Sarvairaham Eva Vedya. In understanding the Vedas, one has to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who has actually understood Him surrenders unto Him after many, many births. We find all these qualifications in the Prachitas. They underwent severe austerities and penances within the water, and they did not take any food for a very long time. They practiced these austerities not for material benediction, but for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. One may engage in any business, material or spiritual, but the purpose should be the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Jnana Timirandasya Ganandana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Vichetanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakada Mahyam Tadati Swapadantikam Pandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Cha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Runa Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Takanchin Vurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpadrubhyascha Kripa-sindhu-vyevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivashari Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Namo Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashchatyade Shatarine. So, Srila Prabhupada quotes here the Bhagavatam, no? Atabhumbir dvijashrashta varnashrama vibhagashaha sanustitasya. What is it? Sanustitasya. Samsidir haritoshana. That whatever your situation is in varnashram, in society, in executing your duties in life, the purpose should be satisfying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is what they're praying for. Now, they gave a long list of everything they've done. But actually, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, it's not that they're being proud of what they've done, but as they've said in previous verses, that they'll say in following verses that other people have done these things better, and they're more qualified. But we've done these things, although we are ignorant, we are not on the platform of the demigods, we are not great sages, we are simply the sons of a fallen king, an attached king, who became unattached by the mercy of Sri Narada Muni. But, so, we've done all these things. Otherwise, they're saying, but what is the use of all these things? No, that's what they're basically saying. All these things that generally people would be very proud of, we've done them, and the only thing they did for us was make us angry. So therefore, now we realize that everything that we've done is simply an offering to you. Just like Pritu Maharaj, when he received the four Kumaras, he received them, he glorified them, and he said, let me offer my kingdom to you. No, it's not mine. Actually, everything belongs to the Brahmins, because the Brahmins are the agents of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, we offer our kingdom to you. And the Kumara said, that's all right. No, we're Brahmins. Just like one time the devotees were speaking to Srila Prabhupada, and he was speaking about that our mission is to reclaim the world for Krishna. It's like in the area where I have service, there's Venezuela and the next country, Guyana. And in between, there's an area like, it says, zone in reclamation, where both countries want it. It's just jungle. But the only reason they both want it is because there's petroleum. No. Otherwise, they wouldn't care. No, just jungle with the snakes. No, so this is this material world, this universe, and all these universes. For the devotees, it is simply our duty to take all of this and offer it to Krishna. No. So it may be quite ambitious. No. And sometimes when we go out, we have to give lectures, we have to speak strongly against other people. No, sometimes we have to do that. But we're not doing it for ourselves. We're doing it for the pleasure of Krishna. We want everyone to understand this belongs to Krishna. Otherwise, as I mentioned the other day, if Krishna created this world for you, people to be materially happy, then he failed. No, he failed miserably. Because most people are not happy, and even the happiest people are not happy all the time. So, So this, obviously, there's another purpose. And the purpose is so that we can all go back home, back to Godhead. And therefore, because Krishna wants us to come very quickly, He has made it especially miserable. No, it's especially miserable, this material world, so that we can go back home, back to Godhead as quickly as possible. If it was very nice, just like people say all the time, why doesn't God make this whole place just very nice? No. But that place is Vaikuntha. No. This nice place, there's some nice places here, and the heavenly planets are even nicer. No. Just like one Brahmin, I can't remember his name, in the Mahabharata. Mandata. So, he was very poor, but he was very, very dedicated to the Lord. Every day he would work in the fields. He was so simple. He would work in the fields, and on the way back, he would gather grains from the field, and he would bring it to his family. But on the way home, he would see some saintly persons, and so he would distribute it. And by the time he got home, he only had a handful of grains. So his wife was a little upset, you know. But he said, "What can I do? You know, the saintly persons, our life should be to serve these saintly persons." After some time, he was walking home, and a chariot came from the heavenly planet and said, "You have done so many pious activities by feeding people that we can take you to the heavenly planet." So it's a long story, but there was a series of questions. And then finally he said, he asked, what is this place like? No, he was actually preaching to them through his rhetorical question. What is this place like? Oh, I said, there's so many heavenly pleasures and this and that. And then he said, "But then if you go there, can you stay forever? You say it's so nice, so can..." Well, almost, you know, almost. You know. And so then he said, "That means you have to come back to this world." "Yes, then I don't want to go." No. He said, "I want to go to that place where once arriving there, you never have to come back. You know, that is all I want. The only thing I want is to serve the Lord." And so they looked at him like, "Well, you know, crazy, he's crazy. He's got the opportunity to go to the heavenly planets and he's turning it down." But then shortly after that, another chariot came, but this time with Vishnu Dutas, you know, and he got on board and went back home, back to God. You know. If Krishna wanted this world to be so nice, if he made it so nice, but he does make part of it very nice, but then we see that people get bewildered. No. In this heavenly planets, the demigods are bewildered, so bewildered that they doubt Krishna, like Indra. He doubted Krishna once, very strongly, and you would think after that, you know, you would learn his lesson, but then again, when Krishna came to claim a parijata tree, then he again became upset. So when one is materially attached, one forgets. Srila Prabhupada said one time, maybe more than one time that I know of, that lust makes you dull-headed. No. So the desire to enjoy the heavenly planets, even Indra becomes dull-headed, and he forgets who is Krishna. So what to speak of us, how dull-headed we become, that we think this material world is a nice place. So therefore Krishna makes it especially miserable, especially for those who want to go back home, back to Godhead. Not so miserable for a devotee, a balance. Because if it's too miserable, then you'll give up. Most people would just give up. And if it's too enjoyable, then most people won't surrender. So Krishna makes a nice balance. And for those who are completely in illusion, he makes it very miserable. But they still don't learn. No. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that that Pisa Chira Kao Maya, that get out of the lap of Maya. I many times have said that Maya is the best businesswoman. Since now it's popular that women are corporate executives or corporate heads, but the actual original and most successful is Maya. Because she offers something, to the living entity, they take it, and then she takes it back and punishes them. And then they come back for more, Otherwise, what business person has been so successful, someone buys it, they take it all back and sell it to them again, And Maya does this thousands of times, So she's so expert, that, and she's divine. That's why, because she's empowered by Krishna. Mama Maya Duratyaya. Very difficult to escape her clutches. But she actually, she's doing all that just to please the devotees. So in the Bhavishya Purana, it states that Maya, at the end of Krishna's pastimes, she came and she said, "My Lord, I've got such a difficult task." And Krishna said, "Yes, but without you, so many unqualified people would come. And you teach the living entities that this material world is not their home. Your service is so valuable." And she said, "Yes, but I want to serve you like all the other devotees are serving you." So finally she got the benediction that when the Lord comes again, she would be his servant. And not only did she get to be the servant, but the servant of the servant. She became the servant of Haridas Thakur. And therefore was able to serve the Lord through chanting his holy name. Showing us, she gave the example. Because that is the Lord's main incarnation for this age. There's the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the incarnation for 48 years, And then, we hear about his pastimes. But the holy name has come here. Otherwise people would complain that Lord Chaitanya came and everything got worse, the holy name stays with us, stays with the devotees, and encourages them and spreads his mercy all over the world. So, here, it speaks about all these austerities, penances. Srila Prabhupada is speaking about it. As unless they're offered to Krishna, unless for the pleasure of Krishna, there's no real benefit. Just like in the times of Lord Chaitanya, when he was doing his kirtan in the house of Shivas, there was one brahmachari, and that brahmachari, he was asking Shivas every day, "I want to see the kirtan. I want to see the kirtan." He wanted to see that kirtan so badly. So Shivas said, no. The Lord said only RSVP, by invitation only. And so then finally he insisted, and Shivas thought, "Well, he's very pious. He's not sinful. He's austere." And he said, "All right, I will let you in, but you have to remain hidden." Now, of course, who can hide from Krishna? So they brought him in, they hid him in a corner. Lord Chaitanya came, and he began to dance. Now, Lord Chaitanya knew from the time he entered, he knew that Brahmachari was there. But he still began to dance and chant for some time. And then he stopped, and he said, I feel some disturbance. Someone is here who should not be here." And then Shivas, everybody looked at Shivas because they knew that whenever the Lord stops, there's something wrong. And somebody did something wrong, and everybody knew that Shivas brought this brahmachari in. So then Shivas said, "I can assure you, Lord, there is no one sinful here." There is only one brahmachari and he's hidden away, but he's so austere and he only drinks milk. And Lord Chaitanya said, take him out. And he raised his hand. Do you think you can attain me by only drinking milk? No. That he said, even if a chandala worships me, I will accept him and I will become his property. But if a sannyasi of the highest caliber does not worship me, I am not interested in him. I will not show myself to him. And what about Gajendra? No. What were his austerities? And the monkeys? No. And the cowherd men and women? What great austerities did they do? No. Yet, they were my devotees. No. But people who do so many austerities and penances, but don't worship me, I am not interested in them. No. So, there's actually one verse which I never memorized, but I got it here just along this line. This is the 11th canto, 12th chapter, first two verses. I'll just read this translation. No. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, my dear Uddhava, by associating with my pure devotees, one can destroy one's attachment for all objects of the material sense gratification. Such purifying association brings me under the control of my devotee. One may perform the Astanga Yoga system, engage in philosophical analysis of the elements of material nature, practice nonviolence and other ordinary principles of piety, chant the Vedas, perform penances, take to the renounced order of life, execute sacrificial performances, and dig wells, plant trees, and perform other public welfare activities, give in charity, carry out severe vows, worship the demigods, chant confidential mantras, visit holy places, or accept major and minor disciplinary injunctions. But even by performing such activities, one does not bring me under his control. Of course, a devotee doesn't want to bring Krishna under his control. But Krishna wants to be under the control of the devotee. No. So this is the competition that goes on. No. So even when the Brahmin, after the wives of the Brahmins had satisfied Krishna, and after Krishna and Balaram, after the wives satisfied them, they walked right in front of the Brahmin. No. Afterwards. And left. And then smiling at them, like, no, you lost out, no. You had your opportunity, but you lost out. And so the Brahmins then, they said, everything we're doing is useless. No. These ladies, our wives, no, that they've never done any great rituals. They never practiced brahmacharya under the guidance of the spiritual master. They never became qualified in all the different ways through education, study of the Vedas, and so many different things that we did. Yet they were able to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we are so unfortunate that we could not do so. No. Of course, just by the association of the wives, they could even pray like that. Because previously they were so proud. But because they had associated with the devotees of the Lord, the cowherd boys, and because their wives were devotees, just like Kaliya, you know, the reason that Krishna didn't kill him was because his wives were devotees. You know. So, as Lord Nisinghadev told Prahlad Maharaj, that so many generations forward and backward, they will all be liberated if one becomes a pure devotee. No. And so these Brahmins, they were repentant. But afterwards, they didn't surrender to Krishna because they were afraid of Kamsa. No. And so that's why it's our duty in our Krishna consciousness movement to change society so that people can become Krishna conscious. And then Krishna says, that naham vedaya, na tapasa, na chajjaya, na dhanena na chajjaya, shakya aham vidho, shakya aham, aham shakya aham vidur drashtum jishtavan apimam mita. He says, by all these things, Vedic practices, sacrifices, austerities, penances, charity, you can never attain me. You can never see me. How can you do it? That bhaktya tunanyaya shakya aham ivam vidur juna. That Arjuna, it can only be done by unadulterated, pure devotional service. It can only be done in that way. Gyatum trashtum cha tatvena pravishtum cha pratantapa. Not only will you know me, gyatum drashtum, you will see me. And not only will you see me, but you will enter into the mysteries of my understanding. Meaning that you can understand Krishna. Of course, no one can understand Krishna fully or perfectly, but you can understand so many things about Krishna that bewilder all the living entities in this material world. That is the power of devotional service. So anyway, this aspect. So they weren't proud of these things, but they were thinking, we wasted so much time doing all these things. But since we did them, because this was the standard Vedic practice for being elevated to higher planets or going to Tapaloka or whatever, but since we were fortunate to get the association of Lord Shiva, then we actually understood by singing the song that that he gave us, that now we understood that we can offer everything to you. You're so wonderful. So Srila Prabhupada continues. This verse presents a perfect picture of Vedic civilization. People training to become devotees should be respectful not only to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but also to those who are elderly in knowledge, who are Aryans, and who are actual devotees of the Lord. And an Aryan is one who does not boast, but is an actual devotee of the Lord. Aryan means advanced. Formerly, those who claimed to be Aryans had to be devotees of the Lord. For instance, in Bhagavad Gita 2:2, Krishna chastises Arjuna by saying that he was speaking like a non-Aryan. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Kutastvakashvanam Idam Vishame Samupasti Tam Anayam Jishtamashvagyama Kirtikartam Arjuna. The Supreme Person, Bhagavan, said, my dear Arjuna, how have these impurities come upon you? They are not at all befitting a man who knows the progressive values of life. They do not lead to higher planets, but to infamy. And of course, in that verse from Bhagavad Gita, Vishame Samupastitam, means at this hour of crisis, this Vishame Samupastitam means that our conviction to serve Krishna, or what kind of person we are, will be brought to test at a certain point. Srila Prabhupada said that one Bengali saying, which I can't remember, but anyway, it is that all of your sadhana, all of your austerities, all of your penances will be put to test at the time of death. If you remember Krishna, then it was worthwhile. But if you did austerities, penances, sacrifices, charity for some other purpose, like being elevated to the heavenly planets, or for some benefit, some material benefit, then it will, at the time of death, you'll realize that it was useless. Arjuna, the Kshatriya, was refusing to fight, despite being directly ordered by the Supreme Lord. He was thus chastised by the Lord as belonging to a non-Aryan family. Anyone who is advanced in the devotional service of the Lord certainly knows his duty. It does not matter whether his duty is violent or non-violent. If it is sanctioned and ordered by the Supreme Lord, it must be performed. Violence. So Srila Prabhupada spoke many times. Actually, he criticized Gandhi that he took non-violence too far. And Srila Prabhupada wrote him a letter. Most of you have seen that letter. Prabhupada wrote, and he told him that now you should take up the Bhagavad Gita. You were successful. You got everybody's attention. Now do what you, the real, give them the real thing, independence. No one is independent. Just like Srila Prabhupada proposed to his spiritual master. He was a young man in the Gandhi movement. And he said, how can I preach this message of Lord Chaitanya to intelligent people if I'm from a dependent country? And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, everyone is dependent. No one is independent. And when you try to be independent, then you become dependent on Maya. Then Prabhupada realized, yes, that the real duty. So Srila Prabhupada tried to inform him, now your real duty begins. Take up the Bhagavad Gita. You've studied Bhagavad Gita all your life. Now give it to others. And Prabhupada said, otherwise great misfortune is awaiting you. And Prabhupada could see very clearly, the nature of people. And he could not see, and he was killed, unfortunately. One time Srila Prabhupada, during the times in New York City, 1975, 70, started in 74, then 75, the people were anti-cult movements came up, and they were especially targeting ISKCON. There were real cults, and they got targeted a little bit, but ISKCON was the main target because we were making so many devotees. They were nervous. Actually, the U.S. government sent one man in disguise to live with the devotees. And he lived with them for a while, and he actually was chanting. And then he came back to the government, and he said, don't worry about them, they're too disorganized, they'll never take over the government. So I don't know if he did that because he thought we might do it or whatever. But Prabhupada was serious about these things. Actually, when they told Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, if we take over the world, then you can be the king. And Prabhupada said, no, you be the king, I will be the Brahmin. I'll be the minister, I'll be the advisor. Of course, that didn't quite happen. But we still have to do it. And if we don't do it, we have to make sure that the next generation does it. And that is our determination. Prabhupada always spoke in that way. And so this court, there was a big court case that started up. And Prabhupada was very concerned because there was another group called Children of God, and they actually outlawed them in the U.S. So Prabhupada was concerned that they could outlaw us. And then, he had invested so much energy. So he was speaking to some people, and he was encouraging them. These were like Brahmins from different groups and sampradayas. He said, now we should all gather together so everyone can meet in Vrindavan. And we must fight, Prabhupada said. He said, what is the problem? Krishna, he was born in the jail, and he had to flee. And crossing in the Yamuna, he fell in the Yamuna. He had to fight. He had to struggle. Then he fought so many demons, Shakata, Asura, Putana, this one, that one. And then all the time he was in Vrindavan, he was fighting demons. Then he left Vrindavan, he was fighting demons. Then he was fighting again. He said all of his life he was fighting. Prabhupada said, therefore, we all must fight. No. Prabhupada said, without fighting, there's no life. No. Prabhupada actually, after the whole experience with Juhu, the devotees were, you know, were very jubilant. No. And then, some of the devotees said, Srila Prabhupada, we're so sorry that you had to go through that. And Prabhupada said, it was a good fight. No. Now there was a devotee, like it says here, violent or non-violent. No. If a devotee is engaged in spiritual activities, no. If he has to fight for Krishna, he'll fight for Krishna. Prabhupada said many times that a devotee naturally is non-violent. No. He doesn't even want to kill a fly or an ant. But if he has to, he will fight. No. So, of course, that was very interesting in that case. When the actual case came to the court, even before that, all the leaders in 1975, they went to Mayapur. And because they all were approaching Prabhupada, what do we do? So Prabhupada was in his room, and he told his secretary, now call them. All the leaders came, they were filled up his room, and they were standing in the doorway, hanging through the windows, you know, waiting for the strategy. You know. And Prabhupada took his pen, and he was going like this, looking at it. Then he was looking at his fingers. You know. Everybody's waiting. The Prabhupada said, so? They say we are brainwashing? No. Yes, Prabhupada, yes. The Prabhupada said, what is the problem? If the brain is contaminated, it must be washed. No. And then Prabhupada waited a little while, and then he said, in any case, there's no problem because they have no brain. No. And that was it. That was the strategy. Otherwise, everybody knew the strategy is you chant Hare Krishna, you keep preaching. No, this is Lord Chaitanya's movement. No. Not that we should become too concerned. But Prabhupada was concerned. But the reason he wasn't so concerned at that point was because he had already gotten many scholars and very important people to endorse the movement. But anyway, then the court case came. So the judge said, what is your evidence? Do you have evidence? The devotee said, yes. And they brought a set of Srimad Bhagavatam. Put it on the judge's desk. The judge said, okay, I will examine the evidence. We will adjourn for, I think he adjourned for 1 month or 2 months. No. So then the judge came back. He said, I have examined the evidence, case closed. This is authorized movement. No. He actually read the whole Bhagavata. No. No. So if we can convince a materialistic judge through the Bhagavatam, that's wherefore Srila Prabhupada said, I want these Bhagavatams to go to all intelligent people who can understand. They may not understand all the higher principles of bhakti. They may not understand that. But they will understand that this movement is authorized, this movement is bona fide, and they will understand this is a great tradition, you know, the great ancient tradition. So Srila Prabhupada continues, and Aryan performs his duty. It is not that the Aryans are unnecessarily inimical to living entities. The Aryan never maintains slaughterhouses, and they are never enemies of poor animals. So this is a very important point. Otherwise, Srila Prabhupada is being a little sarcastic here. These people, some people accuse, just like nowadays, if you asked anyone, people would be on Arjuna's side. We shouldn't fight. No. Here it is again, this war-monging God. No. No. They would think like that. Yeah, the God from the Bible, killing people, doing this and that. Now here it is, you bring the Vedas, the same old God, you know, fighting, war. You know. He's telling his devotee to fight. You know. But then, a devotee like Arjuna wouldn't even kill an animal. You know. So then you say, you say you want non-violence, but you're maintaining slaughterhouses. You know. Prostitution houses, liquor places. No, people become insane. They have accidents. They kill one another. That's all right. But to fight for the cause of Dharma, oh, no, that's not good. But keeping slaughterhouses, pornography, no. Like one of the biggest industry in the world is pharmaceutical. No. Just like I just bought some cream here in India. It's 20 times cheaper here than it is in the U.S. No, more than 20 times. But they're still cheating. The biggest business in the world. No. Now a doctor, especially in many countries, here to some degree, but other countries even more, they will never tell you what's actually the best thing for you. They will tell you what the pharmaceutical industry tells them to tell you, because otherwise they'll get sued. As long as they stick to the manual, no, then they can't get sued. So they tell you, take this poison, take that poison. Of course, if you need it, then you need it. But just like you see any advertisement for pharmaceuticals, it says, this will help you do this. But, you know, unfortunately, you'll get shortness of breath, could cause liver failure, could cause heart failure, could cause this, could cause that, could cause death. But it will help you, no? It will help your pancreas, no? So, but anyway, that's another subject. So, and the second biggest industry worldwide now is pornography, no? And then right after that, intoxication. In the USA, practically 2/3 of the USA have legalized marijuana now, no? Actually, before, it's interesting that for so many years, nobody cared about marijuana here in India. There was no law against it. Then because of the drug problems in the West, they made a law against it, and now they're making it legal. No, so this is the material world. So a devotee wants to stop all these things because this is what's creating war. Srila Prabhupada said that if 10%, it was in the U.S., he said, if 10% of your population becomes devotees, then it will be just like Vaikuntha. No. He said, the main thing is that you have to stop the slaughterhouses. No. And then all this violence in the world will stop. No. All this violence. No. Even one famous poet, George Bernard Shaw, He wrote one poem and he said, as long as people are slaughtering animals and eating them like carrion crows, then the ugly, I forget the exact words, but the ugly force will raise its head called war. No. So even a English poet could see the dangers of slaughtering animals. So Srila Prabhupada here is a little heavy, saying, you people think about nonviolence, but then you have slaughterhouses. And then you want to criticize Krishna for sending the Pandavas to establish religiosity. The Prachetas underwent severe austerities for many, many years, even within the water. Accepting austerities and penances is a vowed business of those interested in advanced civilization. Of course, it has to culminate in devotional service. The word nirandasam means without food. Eating voraciously and unnecessarily is not the business of an Aryan. Rather, the eating process should be restricted as far as possible. When Aryans eat, they eat only prescribed edibles. Regarding this, the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, पत्रम पुष्पम पलम तो यम यो मे भक्त प्रयच ठीक तरहम भक्ति पाहृतम अश्नामी प्रयत मनः. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I will accept it. Thus, there are restrictions for the advanced audience. Although the Lord Himself can eat anything and everything, He restricts Himself to vegetables, fruits, milk, and so on. This verse thus describes the activities of those who claim to be audience. So, Srila Prabhupada is, although the Prachettas say that these things would be useless if they weren't offered to you, Srila Prabhupada is saying, even for general society, these things are good. But ultimately, just like we in the Bhagavatam, Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Janayat Yasi Vairagyam Jnanachaya Dohaitukam. It says very clearly that jnana and vairagya will not produce bhakti. Bhakti produces jnana and vairagya. But Srila Prabhupada explains that if you do jnana and vairagya, it can create a favorable atmosphere for bhakti. And so all these things that are mentioned here can create a favorable atmosphere. But bhakti is the real thing. Just like Dhruva Maharaj, no? He said, Stana bila shi tapasi stito ham tvat prapaptanam deva munindra deva deva munindra no, deva munindra deva muni indra guyam deva munindra guyam kacham vichinvan apidivya ratnam Swamin Kitartos me varam nayache. He said that I did so many austerities and penances with ego. The ego thinking, I will do these things and I will make the Lord appear. And the Lord, out of His mercy, He did appear. Because, just as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, four classes of people approach me. So, He approached me. Well, He approached me, even though His motive was to get something from me. And then He said, but Dhruva Maharaj said, but I did so many austerities to do things that even the demigods and the great saintly persons, and they could not even achieve. But when I saw this Divya Ratna, this gem, the most valuable gem, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I got His darshan, I could see that anything in this material world. Now, what was He asking for? He was asking for a kingdom bigger than Brahma. No, that's pretty big. No, it means you want something bigger than the universe. That's a, you know, most of us, if we have some ambition, it's like a little more money or a house or, you know, but He wanted a universe. No? And so, but then He said, when I see the Lord, what's the use of all this? All these things are useless. So, this should be our conclusion. That all these things I've been aspiring for in this material world, they're useless unless I have the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So these are some points on this verse. I'll stop here. Any questions? Yes, is there a microphone?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for a wonderful class. Maharaj, in starting of your class, you were telling something about Maya, that she was little upset that she has to give pain to people of this world, and she approaches Krishna, then she asks, she becomes servant of servant. In one sense, it's divine nature of Krishna only. Maya is the divine nature of Krishna. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, we hear in classes that it becomes very strong. We have to kick on the face of Maya. We have to cut the illusion of Maya. We have to go out of the clutches of Maya. Anything. Is it not an offense to devotee? In one sense, she is a devotee.
We have to learn to offer everything to Krishna. No? Otherwise... But if we offer it to Krishna, then it becomes wonderful. No. Even the most mundane thing. No? Therefore, Rupa Goswami said, Iha yase harir dasye kamana manasa gira nikilas vasyapastasu jivan muktasa uchate. That when one lives in this world, live in this world and to be a devotee requires three things. Kamana manasa gira, that you offer your activities, your words and your thoughts to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Activities is difficult. Words is more difficult and thoughts is even more difficult. So even though something may be seen as mundane, and even sometimes when we're neophyte devotees, we're told that, you know, this is Maya, be careful of this, be careful of that, be careful, you know. Because we're not on the platform of Yukta Vairagya. You know. Some people think Yukta Vairagya, they justify all kinds of Maya, you know, and say, let me offer it to Krishna and then enjoy it. You know. Like somebody thinks, I think Krishna wants a pizza, so let me call up the pizza place and order a pizza, and then, oh, here, Krishna, you take it. But really, I want the pizza, you know, not that Krishna wants. So that's not Yukta Vairagya. Yukta Vairagya means that we become so Krishna conscious that when one becomes Krishna conscious enough, then one can use anything in Krishna's service. Anything. But that in the beginning, there are many restrictions. Even Srila Prabhupada refers in the purport here, he says, even Krishna accepts restrictions. He could eat anything, but he wants to eat milk, fruits, vegetables, etc. No, of course, that's what Krishna likes. No. But Srila Prabhupada says it that way just to help us understand that we should accept restrictions. No. That they're good for us. Restrictions. Just like in Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, the regulative principles of freedom. No. So freedom has a price, no? Just like all these countries, India, it fought for freedom, many people died, no? It has a price, no? So also freedom from material nature has the price, and we accept that price is the disciplines and the things we have to go through, no? So, from one point of view, so many things, just like, Prabhupada didn't go to Mangalartik, you know. But he got up at 12:30 in the morning and chanted japa and translated the Bhagavatam. You know. So, if somebody else doesn't go to Mangalartik, if you live in a temple, and even if you live at home, you should go to Mangalartik. Maybe it won't be at 4:30, maybe it'll be at 4:45, you know, maybe it'll be at 5 o'clock, but there should be some Mangalartik. Because Prabhupada said, the one thing he said more than anything else is you chant Hare Krishna. And then the next thing, one of the next things he said more times than anything else, go to Mangalartik, hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. So that doesn't mean that's just for brahmacharis or that's just for people that live in a temple. No, that's for everyone. Everyone should have some Mangalartik, maybe 5 minutes, maybe you're very busy. Krishna will see from within your heart how sincere you are by, according to your circumstance, how you're doing the best, making your best possible effort to please Him. No. Your circumstance may be that you have to work very hard or you have to do so many things. No. But Krishna will see from within the heart. No. As we just said from Dhruva Maharaj, no. Nothing can be hidden from Krishna. So He will see from within the heart if you are making your sincere offering. And that's the important thing. You know? Otherwise, what everyone else thinks, of course, reputation is important for preaching, but what people think in general, we're not concerned. We're concerned about what Krishna thinks. And so if we learn to offer everything to Krishna nicely, then that's why we're here. Learning how to offer everything to Krishna nicely.
In that sense, like, she also wants us to become devotee, but she is giving allurements also. Well, Maya Devi.
She doesn't want you to become devotees.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, many people don't want us to become devotees, no. Many people don't want us to be devotees. Many people don't want devotees, no. But I told the story the other day that one devotee lawyer, his son studied law, and so he wanted his son to practice law with him. So his son said, I want to stay in the temple for, you know, I just graduated. So then after a few months, he said, so are you ready? He said, actually, I think I'll become a brahmachari. You know? His father said, what? How will you maintain yourself? You know? So even though he's a devotee, he's not wanting his son to become be a full-time devotee. You know? And he was a temple president, you know, for many years. You know? That's what his son said. When you were temple president, would you have said that to a brahmachari? No. But I say, well, yeah, okay. So you know, somebody may even be a devotee, but they may not, for some reason, they may not want us to become a devotee. It doesn't mean that they don't want us to become a devotee. They may not want us to be in the ashram. No. They may not want us to do things like we want to do them. No. In the earth. World. Hearing. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in Madhurya Kadambini says that the greatest maya is that when someone becomes an accomplished devotee, they start to preach. And then by preaching and speaking very nicely, they get so many followers. And then all the followers are praising them. You are the greatest devotee. And then someone starts thinking, maybe they're right. No. The astrologer said that it's not good to go out on Thursday, you know. And Prabhupada, that's when Prabhupada said, you know, he wrote this letter that we do not even want to see them. So, of course, Prabhupada himself consulted astrologers, but for certain purposes, not for ashram devotees, for brahmacharya, and especially for sannyasi. They should depend on Krishna, not on the astrologer. No. And so, anyway. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you so much for the enlightenment. My question is about this statement of Srila Prabhupada. In the purport, the Prabhupada is saying, an Aryan is one who does not boast, no, not this one, sorry. One may engage in any business, material or spiritual, but the purpose should be that. Actually, things. What?
Karma yoga, and I'm not doing it and offering the results to Krishna, then it's just sense gratification, just fruitive activity. So Lord Chaitanya said, na kavita, no fruitive activity. And how do we not do fruitive activity? Na dana dachana na sundari. No. We give up the desire for unnecessary wealth. Srila Prabhupada says in the fourth canto, in one purport, that if anyone has wealth, they should build a beautiful palatial temple for Krishna. No. Otherwise, meaning if you have a lot of wealth. Obviously, if I have, you know, 10 lakhs of rupees, it's not like I'm going to build a palatial temple. You know, maybe a model like this. But so the point is that everything is meant to satisfy Krishna. That's the point. You know. Nothing else. There's no other purpose. Otherwise, as the Bhagavatam Shrama Evahi Kevalam, no. Not padayad yadi ratim. If what I'm doing in Varnashram or whatever situation doesn't create an attraction for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then it's a waste of time. No. And beyond an attraction, the attraction is so that I can. No, otherwise, one may say, well, wait, attraction means you want personal satisfaction. No. No, I want attraction. Otherwise, we pray for pure devotional service. That sounds like I just want something for myself. No, I want pure devotional service so that I can serve Krishna in the best way. I want to be attracted to Krishna so that I will want to please him. If you're not attracted to someone, you won't want to please them. No, you just you know, want to get away from them. Most likely. So if we're not attracted to Krishna, also sometimes we want to get away from him. So, yes, Krishna, I took my darshan, now I want to do, now let me go do what I want. So, yes, Krishna, I finished my round. In the beginning, Srila Prabhupada told the devotees, just chant your 16 rounds and then do anything you want. But that was like for people taking LSD and coming to the temple. No, that wasn't for temple residents. No, not that. So I finished my 16 rounds. Oh, Prabhupada said I can do anything I want. So he did say that in 1967 to a bunch of, you know, dull-headed hippies. So if I want to be a dull-headed hippie, that is the instruction that I should follow. You know? But if I want to be a pure devotee, then 24 hours, kirtaniya sadahari. That's the instruction. One time Srila Prabhupada said, devotees said, Srila Prabhupada, how can I chant sincerely my 16 rounds? Prabhupada said, why only 16? Why not 25,000? No. And then another devotee who said about chanting, I'll conclude with this. He said, Prabhupada, how can I have quality in my chanting my 16 rounds? Prabhupada said 16 rounds means no quality. No. Quality means I cannot stop chanting. No. If you have quality, then there is no question of 16 rounds. No. So, you know, otherwise the point is, of course, if we have quality service, just like many of us who have many responsibilities, we can't chant more than 16 rounds because we have to do so many things, so many services. That's quality. But if I'm just stopping at 16, then there's no quality. That was Prabhupada's point. If I could chant more, but I stop at 16, that means I have no quality. No. So, we'll end on that note of chanting 25,000 rounds a day only. No. Thank you all very much for your kind attention. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Hare Krishna. Aiye hum Maharaj ji ko hriday purvak dhanyavad denge teen bar Hari bol bolkar. Hari bol, Hari bol. Param pujya Guru Prasad Swami Maharaj ki
jai. Anant koti vaishnava vrinda ki jai.